Genesis chapter 9. I don't have much time, so we're not going to be doing the reading because there's not enough time. I've only got about a half hour. But I want to kind of go through some of these statements that are being made in the ninth chapter. There's not an awful lot of, quote, questions that are there, end of quote, unless you have them. But there's a very interesting word here in the very first sentence, and it says something, and it says, "And God blessed Noah." Now, what does the word blessed mean? What is a Hebrew word for it? What does it mean? It means to kneel. It means to literally kneel. And so you read this thing, it's really weird. God kneeled before Noah and his sons and blessed them. We have a hard time in our English language to understand completely what that word kneel means. What do you think that word means? Yes?
When you bless someone kneeling.
Okay.
You're down with them.
You're down there with them. Okay, continue. Anybody else has any idea what kneeling means?
Kneeling, like kneeling down.
Like kneeling down with your knees. We have a president of the United States coming up. His name is Barack. That means kneel. Yes.
Be humble before God.
Okay, be humble. Good one.
We also kneel for worship, right?
I'm sorry, what?
We also kneel for worship.
We do, yes. But I'm talking about now God doing the kneeling. Why would he do this? Yes.
Is it like a bestowing everything of your essence upon to that person?
All right, now you're getting close to the thing. This is what this really word, and sometimes we don't look and see what God is doing. When he does it, he kneels, what is the greatest thing that God bestowed upon us? And his son had, in a sense, kneeled down.
Condescended
to us. That we may have life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this word kneel, the root baruch, although we say, blessed be you, O Lord our God, I understand all that. But we should also kneel before him, bestow upon us, from us, what we can give to him. Does that make sense? That word kneeling is a very unusual word because we don't like it in our English language. And even in Hebrew, they don't particularly know what to do about it. And they translate it back and forth, being blessed and praised and all that kind of stuff. But the word really means what it really means. And the reason why I'm saying this is because when you do some research on this word kneel, there are five places where it's, for some reason, in your English Bible, and even in the Hebrew, they use the word curse. You cannot curse when you kneel. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it was brought up that when you baruch, you can also, it means to also curse. It doesn't work in Hebrew. How can you bestow a curse? You don't. When God said, "Oh, bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you," he didn't use the word, "I will kneel those who kneel you and curse those who curse." He didn't use the word kneel there. He meant he's really going to, in a sense, condemn them. It's a different word. The reason why I think it's important, because I didn't get a chance to explain this when we went on in the very first chapter, chapter 1. But the word blessed is a very unusual word. It's an action deed. It's what someone does. Right? Yes, it is exactly a form of worship when we do this. But when we worship, what are we supposed to do? What is the word ancient? Actually, I'm going to go into Greek here because we know that word. What does the word worship mean?
Show honor to.
That's why you can worship the devil And you don't even have to be on your knees. You can worship a dictator, or you can worship your wife. You can worship your kids. You can worship a car. It's worship. It's a form of honoring. No, there are people who honor money. There are people who honor a position they hold. You know what I'm saying? That's the old word worship means. Just who you pay homage to, or what you pay homage to. And so when we look at this thing, and using that word worship in this case, which Hector wrote, is that we are paying homage to. Does God pay homage to us? He gave His only begotten Son, that we may have life.
Oh, He did give us
life. Wow!
He gave us worth, that's for sure.
He didn't create us in dishonor. He created mankind in honor. Very beginning, right? Very, very beginning. Did He make a mistake when He made Adam and created him in dishonor? No, He created him in honor. How does Adam to honor God back? To be like God. He is created in the image of God. And the image of God, and what is He supposed to do? The very same God does. So we look at this word kneel, and you work the word bless. So when you bless somebody, and you got a good expression, you came up with the expression is that you bestow something. Not that is cursed, but something is blessed. So let's go to the book of Job here for a minute. Because this is where the word was twisted. I had a hard time when I first looked at it and told my wife, I really look at this word because it doesn't make sense. Why was it blessed? Why does He use the word curse? I had a hard time figuring it out until I did some more research. And I don't have an answer to one of the things, but yet I do have an answer partially. And the reason why I want to say this is because when you do some studying on words, it sounds like it should be cursed. All right, it really doesn't make sense if you use the word kneel. Job, first chapter. Okay, we're just talking about just one word right now. And it was so, when the days of their feasting, meaning his sons and his daughters, that's verse 5, were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. It says sacrificed. It more like he sanctified them. He went and did something to purify them. He did something to this for his daughters, his sons and daughters, in order that they can become sanctified. Okay? It's a really old way of writing it. And rose up early in the morning and offered whole offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Now, what that word is baruch. How can they possibly bless God? Oh, so that makes sense. They must have cursed Him. Right? It makes sense to turn the word into a curse rather than using that word blessed. But the wording is very interesting here. What did Job do? Why did he do it? What did Job do? What did he say?
He offered a burnt offering for his children.
Because?
Because they might have sinned.
They might have sinned. How can you possibly bless God when you are sinning? Huh?
You cannot.
It can't be done. What happens? Why was it so important that he go and he sanctify? He sanctified them. What did Job know about his kids? Huh?
He must have known that they were...
bunch of party people.
Well, they were partying, but they were all...
Partying on a... What's called? Yes?
Yeah. Well, the word for feast is right. Mishtah, which correct. Means a drinking banquet.
Drinking banquet. Okay. That's also the other place. And being also having a party. Not used in other places in Scripture, which is what Job, what other ones do too. I want to explain, before we go any farther in this thing, I got to explain something to understand what's going on here. Basically what it says, while they were sinning, they may have blessed God in their hearts, which would not have been accepted by God. Therefore, God, what did Job do? Sanctified them with a whole offerings. Why did he use whole offerings for?
Was it a sin offering?
Who's Job?
He's a righteous man.
Job is a father.
He's the priest.
He's what?
He's a priest.
He's a priest? Okay. Okay, the Septuagint tells you exactly who he is. He is the great grandson of Esau.
Yikes.
Great grandson of Esau. Not of Jacob, not of Abraham, but of Esau. All right? Now, explains why you would use a whole offering, because the only time you'd have a holy offering is if you already knew what it was all about. Right? Next thing. What, you, look, tell me, what does the name Job mean? It should be there.
It doesn't, it just...
Good, Bob. Bet.
It says what?
Yod Vav Bet.
That means hated one.
Hated one.
Hated. His name was not Job. He was the hated one. Or he was the persecuted one. That's what he is. That wasn't his name. That's what he became known. This is the hated one. This is the cursed one. This is the one that's not been. Who hated him?
Yep.
What?
The devil.
Of course. First thing he did. He is despised and persecuted, and the devil did the hating and did the cursing. Oh, God. All right. So we see now a story of one or a person who has been hated. One who has been persecuted. Not by God, but by some...
So
that's his name.
Job means that?
Job means hated.
Okay.
The word in Hebrew, that means hated. You can go look it up. Very fascinating to know. I always like to find the names of people. Okay. It doesn't tell me their actions. It tells me who they are and what happened to them. We'll go through some more today real quick. I'm going to run out of time real quick. But I just want you to keep that in mind. Now, he mentioned a few other things. I'll get you one more place here. Chapter 2, verse 5, one thing that Satan used. Oh, wait a minute, I can't go there. Let's go chapter 6, chapter 1, first, verse 10. And here, the chapter 1, verse 10. It has not thou, this is the Satan talking, made a hedge or an entrance, protection around him, and... about his house and about all that he has done on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the hand. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will, and your word says curse, right? Mm-hmm. Thee to thy face. Oh my. But the word is, kneel thee to thy face. Wait a minute. What does it say in Hebrew? Now, that's a point we have to know. What does it say in Hebrew? The devil's talking here. Now, a very, very key word here. And it doesn't say what you think it says. It says, and but send now away your hand and touch in the and all that he has. Im lo, if not, or no more, to your face will he bless. That word the devil was saying, if you curse him, he will not, and the word is lo, not. Doesn't have that in your translation, does it? He will not bless you in your face. He will curse, didn't say the word curse, he said, he will not bless you.
No,
no blessing. Now, but what did Job do? He didn't curse. That is the hard English word, curse. What did he do? Blessed. Paid homage to. So there's a word. You got to find this in the Hebrew. And it's got that word no. Im no means if no. Word im in Hebrew means if no or if not. No. See if not. Withhold your hand. See if not. He will bless you. That's what basically the translation is. Yes.
So when bad things happen, you just keep kneeling.
Yes, keep kneeling. Yes. All right, so we have that word. I want to get that through you. I got that much more time. But in, I don't want to go to verse 2. Don't need to do that. Now, I have a question, and I don't have an answer. Verse 3 of Genesis, chapter 9, verse 3. I would like to have everybody tell me what it says in their translation. What does it say in yours?
Every moving thing shall be food for you.
All right, and what does yours say? Your same thing?
Yeah, same thing.
What, creeping things. What does yours say?
Every moving thing.
What does that one there say?
Mine says every moving thing that lives will be food for you, just as I gave you green plants before.
Even Porky?
I'm sorry, what?
Even Porky.
What was it?
Bugs.
What?
Verse 3.
Verse 3 on...
Nine. Chapter 9. What one is yours?
Yeah, my...
Every moving thing.
You know what that word means?
No.
What do you think it means?
Exactly what you think it means. What?
Has nothing to do with clean animals or unclean animals. Has nothing to do with fowl of the air or fish in the water. It has to do that which creeps and crawls on the face. Fast moving. It says moving here. That means the moving thing is the thing that moves fast. It includes, reptiles. Anything that moves real fast and creep, but creepy things. You don't believe me? Go to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth all living creatures after his kind, and the cattle, and creeping things, same word, same Hebrew word, and beasts of the earth and its kind, and so on and so forth. That word is used again in verse 26 of chapter 1. Don't need to go there. Now my question to you is, what? Do you have an answer?
No.
We don't have an answer. You know, we read there where he made sure he got unclean animals on the ship. What, more? They outnumbered the unclean, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He says, even as the green herb have I given you all things.
To eat.
Does that mean we should eat poisonous plants?
Do you see what he's saying?
Hemlock.
No. What? Now, I know that everybody has their interpretation here. And so, well, that's not what the Hebrew says. That's not what it meant. It meant only eating those things that are clean, not those things. Nobody's going to eat anything creepy and crawly thing. Now, another word they use is the word swamp or swarm. That's a different word. Different word altogether. Swarming has to do with fish. As a school of fish in the water, it's called a swarm in Hebrew. We think of bees as a swarm, or we think of ants as a swarm, or locusts as a swarm. But and then in Genesis chapter 1, it refers to the swarm, meaning the fish that's schooled together. You just read today about how much nets. Yes.
Of everything that moves could even be a human being,
right?
Sure. Oh, but it doesn't. If it's everything, then it would be very clear, because later on he talks about the cattle. He made a
covenant
with man, the cattle, the creeping things, and the foul air. So he named them all out. This is the one unusual spot. He says, it will be food for you. Now, what do you think he meant by that? Do you have any idea?
It means you don't have to just eat herbs anymore. You get to add meat to your diet.
All right.
Now we can have, right now we have fun with interpretation. Because I really can't give you an answer. This is one of those ones that weird ones I can't give you an answer to. I looked this thing up and I searched my scripture and I went all the way from back to forward. It still said the same thing no matter how I looked at it. He eliminated all other things and only named one thing. And then all those herbs. Herbs is a little bit different than poison stuff. But named all those things off. So what do you think he meant? What was the function that man was supposed to do?
Yes. Well, this is not really answering that question, but this is Moses writing it, right?
No. This is called the Book of Noah.
Yeah, but Moses wrote the Torah. I mean,
No. He copied. All this is compiled together.
Right.
When you read and study the Greek, Hebrew, you see the total different Hebrew style and sentence, radically different in the first part of Genesis.
Right.
That cannot compare with anything in Exodus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy.
But presumably, if the Torah was given to Moses on Mount Sinai.
Right. But who compiled the Torah?
Well,
who compiled the Torah?
Ezra.
And 120.
It can't have all been written by Moses because it continues after he died.
Yeah. But that's the technicality. We won't get into technicality on it. But we're just looking at this thing and said, this is really strange.
It's with you that the Torah came through Moses.
Right, so yeah.
Deuteronomy, for example, was put together post the period of kings. So.
Right.
This could be written just somebody who already knows what the food looks like.
I know that. That's not my argument on this thing. I'm not worried about that point. Because when you study this thing, you tell when a priest wrote something compared to when a woman wrote something compared to when a man wrote something in the book of Genesis. It's so obvious that you're shocked. Okay. But, it would go there.
The scholars.
Genesis 2.
Sorry, what?
There's women that wrote parts of the book.
They would say this is the Elohim. See, there's the Jehovah or Yahweh. There's the Elohim. Right. There's the various other.
To answer your question, there is evidence as possible. I don't have that full evidence, but I can tell you. What I want to tell you, though, but what is it you think he's saying here? Let's move into the spiritual realm.
You're saying mankind is over all of it.
Who is going to, in a sense, eat the serpent?
Oh. The Messiah.
The Messiah. Think he's going to have for dinner? Figuratively speaking, no. Spiritually speaking, oh yeah.
He had him for dinner.
Okay. So look at it from that point of view, okay?
He had him for dinner.
He's going to have him for dinner, Remember he said that, what was the serpent's food?
The dust.
Who was to become dust?
The man.
Mankind has become dust, and therefore that's the eating of what the serpent gets to eat. And what gets the serpent to eat when it's all dust? The man's dead, buried. He's got nothing. I'm just saying, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at things. All right, I have to get running here really fast. Any questions in a particular chapter anybody wants to ask? Good, I'm glad you asked.
Did we ever answer about the eating, the moving, and all that?
The eating is what we think in a physical sense. It means eating, meaning consuming.
Right.
Consuming up. And the moving is the same thing as creeping.
So
the thing, creeping thing and the moving thing is the same thing in Hebrew.
So do we conclude that then we're talking about we can eat anything then? You like to make carnitas
stuff? Go ahead. It's your choice. I mean, you are free to do what you want to do. The only thing, now listen, to understand a little bit about the Torah. All right? When did God name what is clean and unclean?
When did he say it?
When?
Before they entered the
ark. I think it was right after they were left the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, how would Adam's son have known what to sacrifice.
They knew already. They knew that they had to sacrifice and shed blood. And so even though it's not written in there, it's certainly evidential. You know, I mean, there's...
Okay. Next thing. My next question is this. Go ahead.
In fact, when Adam and Eve sinned, God sacrificed an animal for them.
Okay. That's good.
But they didn't eat those.
Let's move up now. It's Noah's time. Move up to Noah's time. Move up to Noah's time.
Yeah. And when he brought them on...
What did God say to Noah?
He said to bring six pairs of...
Ninth chapter, verse 1.
Clean animals in, and only one of everything else.
Every moving thing that lives is meat unto you. When did he say that before?
I've heard that. I'm not convinced.
He said it before what?
When did God say man could begin to eat meat, animals, anything? Did he say it to Cain? Or maybe say it to Abel? Who did he say it to?
Behold, I have given you every plant seed which is on the face of the earth, and it shall be food for you. And God is saying this in Genesis chapter 1. And he says, I have given you every plant seeding seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree seeding seed, and it shall be food for you.
Yeah.
So they're vegetarians at that point.
Very strong possibility. Can't find scripture before that. Now, when we think about the time when Abel sacrificed the animal, it was a whole offering. It wasn't a sin offering. It wasn't a gift offering. It was a whole offering. Remember Job? He gave what's called a whole offering. What are you supposed to do with a whole offering? Everything. Everything was to be given unto God. Okay? Now, let's move on. I got to get to... We're going to move on real fast now to... Let's move forward all the way to where we are at... verse 18. Got to get to this point. Okay? I'm not going to talk about the bowl. I'm not going to talk about the covenant. I'm not going to talk about all those other things. I want to get into this word because a lot of people have a really hard time understanding this. And the sons of Noah, they went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. Why would that be listed at this point? From 18th verse, why is Canaan's name mentioned? The whole change of thought. Everything changes. The whole concept is a different thought now. What changed? Why? Okay. And the sons of Noah, and of them was... the whole earth spread. Now, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman. That means basically a man of the soil. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunk or tipsy. And he was uncovered. And the word basically is denude, within his tent. And who went in there?
Hum.
You know what hum means? Hum. It's not him. It's not Ham. It's hum.
Yeah.
It means hot. Meaning tropically hot. In other words, the reason why he had that name is because he lived where? He lived in the tropical area. He liked the tropics. And that's how he got his name. It wasn't a name before. It was a name afterwards. And that's how, remember, people are named for who they are and what they do. All right? Now, what did he do? The father of Canaan, or Kanana. What does Kanana mean? Susan?
Janine.
You don't know?
No.
She you got humiliated. Kana means humiliated. So he didn't get the name before, he got the name after. That's what he became. He became humiliated. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. In the Psalms, when it says, please do not let me be humiliated, is that the word?
Same exact identical word. Do not let me be Canaan. Merchants, lots of times, the place they translate the merchants. Now, you have to be careful what you read there, but it's the word humiliation or Canaan. Humiliated. Do not be humiliated. Or a humiliated person has done this. We talk about the merchants being evil. Well, there's two different words there for merchants. One's not a bad person. It's not the word Canaan. But the other one is doing something underhanded. It's Canaan. That's what the word means, humiliated. See, when you look at words, the names of the people, did you learn something about Job? The hated one. The persecuted one. The names have a very... Why was Noah named Noah? Because of rest. Why was Ham named Ham? Because a person who likes to live in the tropics. Yes.
Yeah. I've read somewhere, I can't remember where exactly, but in Hebrew thought, Ham humiliated his father. I mean, it was a humiliation. It was a sexual thing on some level.
But wasn't, it's not Ham. It was
his grandson.
Right. And that's...
What came forth from Ham was humiliation.
Yeah,
he was a humiliator.
This is what took place. Now, let's Noah said. Let's first finish what Ham... He saw, and it says... Nakedness. You know what that means in Hebrew? Now, why is it one says he was uncovered and the other one says nakedness? Aren't they the same thing?
Not necessarily.
Not in Hebrew, they're not. Uncovered means uncovered. Well, you would think being nude. Nakedness is different. Mm-hmm. All right, in Hebrew, it means what? Disgraced. Nakedness means disgraced. And what? Excuse me? Yes.
Well, because in the Torah, it says you are not allowed to see your
parents
covered. It doesn't mean nudity.
No,
if
nakedness.
Something happens there in the shower, that's not. They're saying disgrace.
Don't put them in disgrace.
Yeah. There's a sexual connotation to it.
Always.
It's actually sin. What he...
Now, I want you to know what says here. What did Ham see? He saw not the... nudity of his father, he saw what happened to his father, that his father was disgraced or humiliated, not humiliated, but he was violated sexually by his own son. Why didn't he go in backwards? The man was happy or devastated. Remember, it's not Ham that got cursed, it was Canaan that got cursed. Just a son of Ham. The people who are of Ham are not cursed. Just one line is. All right, do you understand what I'm saying?
What kind of violation are we talking about here?
Sexual.
Homosexual.
Homosexual.
Yeah.
Very clear in Hebrew. He even violated...
That's what the son did to his father?
Yes.
The grandson. Grandson.
Grandson did to Noah.
Ham didn't do it. Ham's son did.
Canaan.
Canaan. Canaan did it.
Ham, the father of Canaan.
Father of Canaan.
Ham did it. Ham, the father of Canaan.
It says Ham, the father of Canaan,
saw the nakedness of his father.
Right, he saw the nakedness of his father. That's what he saw. But Ham didn't do it.
His two brethren.
Canaan did. He saw, when his eyes saw it. He didn't do it. He saw it.
He saw Canaan.
What did he see? Horrible thing that took place. He probably saw the act of his son doing it to his own father. Do you understand that power that is? It wasn't Ham that was cursed. It was Canaan that was cursed, his son. The humiliated one, the one that humiliated, got cursed by Noah. Does that make sense to you?
It says, and Noah awoke from his wine, and he came to know what his youngest son had done to him.
Correct. Now, who's the youngest son?
The son of his son.
The son of
right,
his
the grandson.
The son of his son.
Yeah, the grandson.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, they are.
And who was the grandson's father?
Ham.
Right. So Ham is not the one that's cursed. He has a cursed memories family. Yes.
All the way through to Zechariah 14, it says, and in that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord.
Correct. We're talking about that. Not the Hamite, but the Canaanite.
The first recorded act of sodomy.
Correct. Well, yes. That we don't have anything in the before. There's nothing there but all evil thoughts that were there probably. It's a horrible thing to picture, but that's what took place. All right, now I've got to get this thing going. It's getting so late. Oh, shoot. Now, to go on to this one, verse 24, and Noah woke from his wine and knew. That word knew doesn't mean, oh, no. Came to understand by seeing what has been done to him. Who told him? Who did it? How would Noah know who did this to him unless somebody told him? So he comes to the knowledge of it. Now, he's physically damaged by it. That's true. No, don't get me wrong about that. But this particular point in time, who do you think probably went in there and told him?
Shem.
I would assume it's Shem. Why?
He's the oldest.
Okay, we'll get now at this point in time. No, he's not necessarily the oldest. They can't prove he's the oldest.
Horrified enough to take the blanket and walk him backwards.
And his brother. And his brother.
His brother.
Now
he was so horrified and so ashamed for their father.
Right. I mean, that's prophecy. But Ham couldn't do that. Wasn't he? Wasn't he? Wouldn't do it. Refused to do it. He couldn't.
How could you do that?
You're already devastated. You saw what took place. Now, the other ones chose not to see.
That's true. They didn't see.
They chose not to see.
Yeah.
Ham had no alternative except what? What did my son do?
Yeah,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ham was the middle child.
Okay.
Yeah, Ham was
the middle child. He's not the youngest son. It said the youngest son. Yeah. Okay. Ham was the middle kid.
I want to get into. Okay, I've run out of time here. I want to get some names. I get some names here. Why is Shem named Shem?
Name.
Because why is what's the other guy's name?
Japheth.
Why is Japheth named Japheth?
Japheth.
Why is his name that? Okay. Well, I told you why Ham is named Ham, right? I told you why Canaan is named Canaan, right? Now, why is Shem named Shem?
Well,
Shem
means name. The Messiah came through.
Why didn't it come through them? No, it has to do with the name. It is Shem who carried on. Because he said, blessed be the Elohim, or the Yahweh Elohim of Shem. So, because Shem carried on the name. Therefore, he got the name of what? Not his name, but the name of, he carried the name on. The name of Yahweh was carried on by Shem. Shem carried the name on. That's why he got this name, the name. You ever heard of Baal Shem Tov? Who's Baal Shem Tov?
He was the leader of the Jews.
Lord of the name. Yeah. Lord of the good name.
Of a good name.
Man, right. Okay. So in Judaism, it's quite common, or Hebrew, it's quite common, to name the person what they do. Not what they are, but what they do. We already talked about him. We talk about Cain, what they did, what he did. And now we have Shem. What did he do? What's the name of the next one?
Yosef.
What does that name mean?
Yosef.
Well, it tells you. The one that expansion, the one that expands. We'll get to explain that a little bit later on. But the what's called the goyim came from that man. What's called the goyim? No, what's called the goyim. There's a separation in the Hebrew thinking about the goyim and those are not the goyim. The majority of the goyim came from him, not from Shem. Shem was not of the goyim, in a sense. We'll get to there when we get there, I hope, in the 11th chapter. But you understand what I'm saying so far with names? Wow. I like the names, and I hope you can look at names that tells you what took place. Not what was to take place before they were named, but what took place after the event. It's very common in you just learned from Jeff last week, was it? Mm-hmm. About the name of Hannah. Yeah. Got the name after she did something. Mm-hmm. Dedicated what? Her son. Therefore, she got this name. Sometimes it's actions.
Speak louder than words.
They always will. They always will. But sometimes we get lost because we just take them as a name. But in Hebrew, they're very, very fascinating name. I hope I can explain a little bit to you on that one. Was I able to do that?
Yeah.
We're running out of time. I won't get into the time, how old Noah was, when he lived, when he died, all that kind of stuff. Any quick questions?
You never have enough time.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, you never have enough time.
I know.
That's because we hang out in the kitchen too long.
I'm not against the praying part. Just I had to figure out, cut.
We need to cut our snack time back.
That's the offender.
We need it's our snack time. That's what it is. We should keep that for 15 minutes. 20 minutes.
Blow the show bar.
Get you guys okay.
Just blow the show bar and start.
Kitchen.
Oh,
yeah.
You got to go in the kitchen.
All right, now, before I close off, before I close off, okay, we all know what the name Adam means, don't we? All right, we all should know what the name Cain means.
What does Adam mean? Man?
Oh, gray. Red, gray. Red earth. Red stuff. Red dirt.
Blood. Adam means dirt?
Red dirt.
Red dirt. Land dirt.
We also know, I hope, some words. A reason why it's important to know words, I think, this is my personal opinion, when we understand the words and the names of things, it will increase our understanding.
Yep.
Not of ourselves or of the Bible, but understanding of what?
What happened?
The Creator of heaven and earth. Helps us understand the Creator of heaven and earth. He uses words for a reason. I hope you learned today what Job meant. I hope you never forget it. It's not the name of the man, it's the hated one.
Well, all the 12 sons of the tribe of Israel, all their names had meaning.
Significant meanings. But it's always actions thereafter, not actions before. We'll get to that point. A lot of those names, those the tribes, are actions that too happen, as well as what was in the past for us. Those names are very fascinating, but we won't go there today. But, you know, so we know what the word Noah means, right? We know what the word Abel means, right? We know what all these names mean, right? We have a good idea. Remember garden, you know what Eden means? The Garden of Eden?
Pleasant.
Pleasant? Eden means a pleasant place.
Hedged.
Head. The garden is a hedge. It's like a fence. It's not where you plant things. It's the, what's inside of there. Okay. In Hebrew. We're not talking English. We're talking Hebrew. All right. So we got some understanding. I got to call it quits. And I will establish my covenant. You know what that establishment word I will establish means? In Hebrew. I will rise up. Kumi ori Kumi, rise. I will raise up a covenant with, and this is Adam, I mean not with Adam, but with Noah and all the animals and the plants and everything else. And it also goes out and comes into the covenant we have. I will raise up a covenant. Isn't that fascinating? When it comes to Noah and the children of Israel, I will raise up a covenant. That's what that word establish means. So when Apostle Paul says we are to establish the law, what do you think he's trying to say?
Raise it up.
Raise it up. Right. Raise it up. Bring it to a higher level. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a fascinating Hebrew phrase. But when Apostle Paul said it, of course he had to say it in Greek. But we have to look back in Hebrew and say, what do you mean by that? Okay, so this raising up, it's a fascinating terminology. So you lift something up. In a sense, God gave us an homage. He gave us something beautiful. He gave us His Word. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, one of the covenants are ones He's raised up and has given to us.